Hello, everybody, and thanks for tuning in to this episode of Metrosite. I'm Beth Schultz, Vice President of Research and Principal Analyst at Metrogy. And with me today is Eric Kraff, who is General Manager of the annual Enterprise Connect Conference and Expo for Enterprise Communications Professionals. Enterprise Connect runs March 27th through 30th and will once again be taking place at the Gaylord Palms in sunny Orlando. Welcome, Eric, and thanks for taking time out of your crazy pre-show schedule to chat with me today.
Thanks so much for inviting me, Beth. It's great to talk to you and looking forward to it.
Yeah. So, you know, Enterprise Connect, you know, you had a 2-year hiatus thanks to from live and in person. You did virtual events, of course, but, you know, compliments of COVID. But you did host Enterprise Connect 22 in Orlando, and you're returning again this year, obviously. So what are the differences that attendees should find or will find, rather, between last year and this year, as well as this year and pre-pandemic?
Well, I think in terms of the experience, this event happened in March 2022. And at that point, probably enough of us still remember, that was, you know, we were coming out of Omicron. And so we did have requirements that folks either have show a negative test or vaccine record. And there's a lot of messaging around masks and, you know, people were already sort of moving out of COVID, but there was still these things in effect. This year, those requirements are no longer in place. People are going to be able to, you know, move about freely, and there's no requirement regarding COVID. You know, like every place else, I think we ask everybody to be considerate of everybody else, and I'm sure there'll be some people who choose to wear masks, and you know, we think, you know, that's totally up to the individual. So that's, you know, from the experience, that's going to be, I think, one of the big differences in terms of sort of what the conference is like or what the substance of it is all about. Mm-hmm. You know, I think people, you know, people kind of have recognized sort of the value of in-person events. And so, you know, we saw the beginnings last year of some really great engagement where people were just so happy to be actually with other people. And I think that'll be, you know, accentuated again this year as we move, you know, forward, and there's even more people who are able to make the event. And of course, this year we're in a different sort of a world in terms of a lot of people thinking about the economy in ways that people weren't thinking about it a year ago. And that'll affect, I think, a lot of the conversations. Hybrid work obviously is, you know, when I remember sitting on stage a year ago and talking to our end user panel. And, you know, we were all kind of talking in terms of, okay, April 1st is the big day for a lot of your companies that are going back to the office in earnest for the first time. And now a year later, you know, we went through this time where kind of there was a lot of talk about hybrid work, but a lot of people weren't necessarily even following the rules that their companies had in place to go back to the office. Now with the economy, you know, we're seeing at least a lot of discussion that this return is really going to happen. So the way that then ripples back to the enterprise technology community, I think, is going to be a big source of conversation. Difference before the pandemic, I think, is just that, you know, the technology it was something that it was talked about, and people saw the potential, and over the pandemic period, it just became, This is just what we use now, and this is what we do.
Being video conferencing in particular, but not exclusively, right?
Right. Yeah, totally.
Oh, it's funny you mentioned Omicron. I almost forgot about that.
Well, it's, and you have to,
totally,
you know,
forgot about it until you mentioned it. So,
and those of us who did events, I think we marked it off in terms of those variants. You know, it's like, this attempt to do the show was the one that got, you know, nixed by Delta. This one got affected by, you know, that's how we mark off our lives.
Yep, for sure. Okay, so Eric, let's talk about the main stage, because, you know, that's always so much excitement in that room. So first, who are your keynoters for 2023 and why? I mean, what makes them worthy of that main stage presence?
Okay, so our opening keynote, the first one on Tuesday morning, is going to be Nicole Herskowitz from Microsoft. You know, I mean, I think Microsoft is pretty well acknowledged to be now that Teams is the dominant platform and is the one that, you know, most enterprises are dealing with and are finding their way through whatever else they may be doing. So, you know, Microsoft is the company to start out with. I want to preface for all these keynoters, I don't have advanced knowledge of what any of them are going to say. So, you know, kind of the way I'm talking about it is the way we were thinking about it in terms of wanting them to be keynoters. What they actually say, they're in the process right now of figuring out. In the case of Microsoft, you know, we saw just, and it's changed even since we started. We saw, you know, this past week, the new Teams Premium that's got the OpenAI technology being added for forgetting what they call it, the meeting summaries, basically.
ChatGPT, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, and it's, that's just become such a huge thing. And, you know, Microsoft obviously is, that's, you know, they're, and they continue this week making announcements about it. So there's always a ton to hear about with Microsoft, and they're plugged right into this thing that's on everybody's mind right now, too. We've also got Javed Khan from Cisco, or WebEx by Cisco. They're also calling themselves in our on our show floor. Certainly Cisco, I mean, to us, what's really interesting about Cisco is that they've pushed and kind of taken the lead in a lot of thinking about hybrid work and about how to not just do the basic communications or just the video, but to have kind of a more holistic view of hybrid work. They're also obviously a player in the contact center space, so that's important. Then we have Mo Katibe, who is with Rings, who is RingCentral's keynoter. RingCentral, again, they've kind of risen to the top of that sort of the companies that came out of the pure play UCaaS world. And they're, you know, they've had this strategy of partnering and really trying to consolidate a lot of the installed base. So, you know, their approach to the market is something that, you know, we're finding more and more of the market is interested in. Then we have Joseph Chong from Zoom. And Zoom, obviously, even, you know, coming out of the pandemic and even to where, you know, they were sort of the darling of the pandemic. But even now, I think it's even more important and interesting to enterprises than to the people who are using Zoom more casually, as Zoom has kind of, you know, gone to this strategy of trying to really be a complete platform and do contact centers and do email and messaging, and really be the company that wants to rise from this whole pandemic and challenge Microsoft. Then we have Behshad Behzadi, who I'm super excited about because he is the vice president of engineering for the conversational AI group at Google Cloud. And just this week, yesterday or the day before, Google, the news started to come out about Google making its response to ChatGPT. And I think they're calling it Bard. And again, I have no idea, you know, exactly what people are going to talk about, but certainly Google and conversational AI is, you know, really just couldn't be more timely. And then we include with Dilip Kumar, who is with AWS, seeing, you know, AWS, you know, debuted in the contact center with their announcement at Enterprise Connect, and they've continued to gain traction. And again, they're just one of those big, you know, strategic vendors that, you know, everybody in our audience needs to deal with, and whether they have a role in your contact center or not is something that people, I think, will be thinking about. So that's the short answer.
Fantastic lineup as usual. There's a lot of them, but definitely some interesting. I'm sure you're going to hear some interesting things out there. I'm really interested in hearing more about ChatGPT and how that's going to play out in this industry. So it'll be good, great. Okay, what else is going on the main stage? Because keynoters isn't the only thing you've got up there. What are some of your other highlights?
Well, actually, in mentioning hearing more about ChatGPT, we did have to the whole ChatGPT phenomenon started kind of late in our planning cycle. So we managed to carve out 10 minutes of main stage time for what we're calling disruptive dialogues. And we're doing two of those. One of them is going to be with Savinay Berry of Vonage, who's going to talk about, you know, Vonage complete was their acquisition by Ericsson was completed. And so, you know, I think the story around hybrid work and around mobility is going to get interesting. So we think he'll have something interesting to say. And then an analyst named Dan Miller, who's with Opus Research, who's one of the leading experts on conversational AI, is going to do the second of these disruptive dialogues. We're calling it the ChatGPT effect, what AI and large language models mean for your enterprise. So it's a bit of a mouthful, but we want to get right on the main stage, you know, some talk about that. And I'm sure it'll come up in some of these other sessions. We've got our opening keynote our opening general session where the strategic vendors kind of Jim Burton of CTLink and BC Strategies and I will, you know, kind of have a high level discussion with some of the top strategic leaders at your, you know, Microsoft, Cisco, the other companies on the panel, you know, the key vendors. And I'm sure that topic will come up again as well. I'm sure hybrid work. We do on Tuesday morning, something called the Enterprise Summit, which you've moderated in the past. And it, we bring in, enterprise leaders from big companies. We have a gentleman named Brian DeBrell of Humana, a woman named Jody Beitler from the University of Pennsylvania, and then the CTO of a couple of hospitals in Ontario, a gentleman named Shival Seth. And we'll be adding a panelist or two to that in the next, hopefully, week or so. We also have a general session panel really homing in specifically on that hybrid work issue, featuring Stacy Foster, who's from MasterCard, Gary Lasasso with Amicus Therapeutics. And we got one other individual also coming onto that panel that we'll announce shortly. We've got our Women in Communications panel, which we elevated, I think, at your suggestion, and it was a great suggestion. If we were serious about really trying to advocate for women in communications, we needed to give the programming a higher profile. And so we are doing a general session on discussing women in communications. Jody Beitler is also going to be on that session, along with Danielle Joyner McPherson from Delta, Stacy Castor from Rocket Companies, and Sinead Aylward, who's with Johnson Controls. And then we have a session with Sheila McGee-Smith, you know, the foremost contact center analyst on CCAS, what comes after CCAS, and then what we're really excited about, and I think sort of feeling a little determined about, is we have a general session on how to use communications technology to advance accessibility. One of the things we saw during the pandemic was the way that companies were able to bring more workers into the workforce because some of the accessibility challenges that you have of having a physical location could be overcome. And we feel like that can be just the start of something that IT can be a big part of within their enterprises, is advancing that cause of accessibility. And it may not be so much about, you know, inventing new technology to do it, but really more about how you deploy the technology, how you use it sort of sensitively and creatively to bring more people in who might have not been able to in the past.
That's great. So women in communications, accessibility, special programming. You have done diversity and inclusion in the past. Is that on the agenda for 2023 again?
It is. It's and thanks for asking. We're doing a thing. It's a little bit of as public an event just because of the nature of it. But what we're doing is we're partnering with a nonprofit that's called Diversity Org, and this is a nonprofit that works with some of the biggest companies in the country and actually in the world now. And they partner with schools where underrepresented and minority students get the opportunity to be connected with, you know, career possibilities. So they might, in the past, they might have gone on site to a particular large company. I blanked on some of their other, you know, companies, but they might just go and go to the headquarters of a certain large company and meet with and talk to and the employee, you know, some of the key employees, and learn about how, if this looks interesting to me, how do I, as I plan for going to college, hopefully, how do I plan for that and prepare myself for that, and what, you know, what could it be like to work in this field? So we've partnered with diversity.org or diversity.org. They're going to bring about 30 students from the Orlando area on site. They're gonna have about an hour with about six representatives of some of the sponsors and some of the speakers to learn about the tech industry and learn about communication specifically, and then they'll do some informal networking with some more sponsors, supporters of the event, and then we'll take them on a tour of the show floor, let them see three of the booths there. I think, again, there's so much to excite, I think, a young person about this industry now, with the way that AI is becoming such a factor, the way that communications that's touched everybody in the last 2 or 3 years, it's now something that I think it's a great opportunity for young people, and we're really excited about having these young people on site. But again, that's not going to be kind of open. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying, that sounds like a great opportunity for them. Perfect.
Yeah, we're really excited.
But it's
about
not
it.
Open, you were saying, yeah.
Yeah, they'll have, it'll be kind of just among those folks, just because you bring students on, you want to kind of keep things, you know, under control and keep, you know, make sure it's a good experience for everybody, and the students aren't, especially in an event like this, it's, you know, it can be kind of overwhelming, and so kind of have a plan for them.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, what about breakout, Derek? I mean, I know there's so many kind of ones that you kind of topics you hit on time year and year again, because they're so important. What are some of the favorites? What are some new topics?
I think most of the new topics are around hybrid work. You're doing a session on employee experience management. That's a big topic that we think is really important. And I think, as of now, at least, Microsoft's planning to have Nicole Herskowitz also be a panelist on that session. So I think that gives you a sense of how significant that is to Microsoft. And then of course,
yeah, I saw that. I was really excited about that.
It's great. I'm really excited, and I think it'll be, you know, a great addition to the session. And then, you know, sessions around kind of the technology for the new office, the way that meeting rooms are evolving, and the way to do technology for meeting rooms, particularly if you have a global enterprise. We have one called Supporting the Anywhere Workforce that, again, gets at this idea of sort of mobility or nomadic workers, or just that it may be time for the enterprise to kind of have a common sort of management, not a literal management plane, but kind of a management view or approach that takes in all of the different anywheres that people are when they're working. And then we also have a session on kind of the whole approaching the whole investment question. Every one of the buzzwords or buzz phrases you seem to hear is, you know, do more with less. That was, you know, a big buzz phrase. And so we have a consultant from the Society of Communications Technology Consultants who is going to take a little bit of a deep dive into how do you think about those investment decisions. So that's kind of some of the new stuff. The other thing is we added a ton of sessions to the contact center track. Your colleague Robin Garris is doing a couple, one on sort of analytics, which is
another foremost analyst in contact center.
That's I know, I'm sorry. And she is, she, you know, Robin obviously has got amazing insights that she's going to share with people, kind of relating to analytics, and then also to self-service, which again, as you look at contact centers, contact center staffing, and you look at automation and chat, and the workforce for contact centers, trying to make sure you have enough agents or deal with it. If you don't, then you have, the self-service becomes really important. We've also got a couple of kind of strategically focused sessions with a couple of great analysts, Naris Corfield, who's from the UK, and then Juanita Coley. And both of them are going to step back and say, how do you strategically fit contact centers into this broader digital workplace transfer or digital transformation story? And how do you think about customer contact holistically with the technology as, the thing we're focusing on here, but a piece of a broader picture. And then, of course, we are continuing to do a hour and a half long deep dive session that Brent Kelly from Omdia and Kevin Keeler from Enable UC doing a really in-depth comparison of the four platform providers that are at the high end of the market: Microsoft, Cisco, RingCentral, and Zoom. So that'll probably encapsulate, or it'll bring in a lot of the sort of details that we'll be hearing about thematically in some of the other sessions, in terms of here's how that stuff's actually being implemented in products.
Phew. lots to look out for, right?
Yes. There's always a mix. When you're doing an event like this, you want to have enough for the people who are making a buying decision like now, and that may be different from people who are thinking, what's my 3-year or 5-year strategy for a particular technology? But you want to have both.
Right. Absolutely. Okay. So we got the conference program squared away. What about the show floor? Give us a quick rundown on what can we expect from the exhibitor environment and everything you got going out on down there.
It is still down there. Fortunately, we've always managed to have all the big players on the show floor, and that's really true again this year. So this area of conversational AI, I don't want to name some and leave some out, but there's a lot of younger companies who are doing sort of point solutions in conversational AI, and especially around the contact centers. There are to name just a few, there's like Core AI and Cognigy and Poly AI. So there's a lot going on in that sort of startup world, they're not all startups, but that sort of companies that are emerging to specifically tackle the AI world. So I think in addition to seeing, the full big booth display from the Microsofts and Ciscos and Zooms and RingCentrals and AWSs and those guys, there's the kind of newer companies starting out. And then, I think, again, there's, contact center has become such a huge part of the show and the industry. So, the Genesys and Five9 and Talkdesk and Nice companies that you might think of heavily in terms of contact center, you'll see them. So, it's again, like with the program, a mix of the old and the new, the way you'd want it to be. Not old, great, by the way, great. but the, let's say familiar.
The familiar, that's a better way to phrase it. Okay, what about networking opportunities? Networking is always important, right?
Oh yeah, definitely. And the show floor is set up so that it's open about, from noon till late afternoon. Tuesday and Wednesday, it's open the better part of Monday afternoon, and It's set up in such a way that there's the opportunity to kind of alternate between visiting booths and kind of networking with peers. Lots of different, you know, kind of either there's private parties that go on all week. We do what we call the appreciation party on Wednesday night for everybody to network and get together. And of course our event app is set up for people to be able to find each other if they want to be found and, set up appointments and meet each other. And then we're also doing something, that we're calling peer roundtables, which is, an opportunity where it's sort of mainly targeted at people with more senior titles like director and above, but it's not like dogmatic or something, but the basic idea is to have a few of these sessions, a few time periods where these folks can get together in a room. We're going to have a facilitator, an analyst or a consultant who will kind of just help them, you know, start the conversation. But, you know, you can remember in the past, there were times when Enterprise Connect would sort of get a bunch of enterprise attendees just kind of up to a suite or up to a room and, you know, in a much more informal way, just let people have free conversations. So we're really kind of bringing that to be more intentional and more, a little bit more widespread.
That's fantastic. That's always such a valuable thing, is to be able to hear, you know, enterprise attendees to kind of share their stories with each other. And that's probably one of the things they most like about attending too.
Yeah. I mean,
wrap us up.
Okay.
No, go ahead, finish.
I was just going to say, we would have people who would say that was, you know, you should do this as a session. And so we are.
Good. Okay. So wrap us up, kind of for anybody that's sitting on the fence, what's sort of the biggest, like one nugget little selling point that you would tell them? And then where can they go ahead and get registration information?
So I think the biggest selling point, it's a combination of, you know, getting in person, being able to network, being able to, you know, having so many people to kind of meet and exchange ideas with. This year, we think, I mean, it's everybody's, even though, you know, spending may still be increasing on the IT front, everybody's more investment conscious. So I think being able to get that kind of depth that you need to make the investments that are right for your enterprise. And I think just what I've been saying about events is the efficiency of getting to do it all kind of in one place and being a vendor neutral forum where you can see all the vendors in one place. You can take meetings with this company at this time and a half hour later with their competitor and look at it side by side. So I think that's what we look at.
All right. Great point to end on. I do have to mention the sessions that MetroG will be on. Did you want to add something else? Go ahead.
I was just going to say,
where they can get registration.
Where to get the information. Probably the easiest thing, go to enterpriseconnect.com, and that's the homepage. And we got registration buttons all over the place.
Okay. And while you're there, you can look at the speaker agenda and find MetroG speakers. Myself, Eric mentioned, I'm doing the session on kind of the merging of collaboration and employee experience management. I'll also be participating in a panel on the future of work. Eric mentioned Robin. Robin will be running a session on self-service, as well as another one on advanced analytics. And then Erwin Lazar, who is our workplace collaboration expert, he'll be speaking on managing E911 for a hybrid workforce and the new threat landscape for UC and collaboration. So look out for those sessions. Eric, again, thank you so much for joining us. I know it's a crazy time for you. And listeners, thanks for tuning in. Till next time, take care, everybody.
Thanks very much, Beth.